Well, hello, listeners, and welcome back to day two of our business article as we explore YouTube's latest venture into original children's programming. And already YouTube has a streaming service, a paid streaming service called YouTube Red, but today we're exploring how they are wanting to capture a child audience. Now, I know for many of you, you use YouTube perhaps to listen to music, perhaps to learn about different topics or even different skills through YouTube. And today I have with me two great panelists who decided to come back. I have to my right...
Brandon, good to be here.
Thanks for coming back.
Yes.
And Josh?
This is Josh. Thanks for having me back, everyone.
Oh, so thank you for joining us on day two today. Now, gentlemen, what was something that you learned from yesterday?
Well, I learned about YouTube Red. I'd heard about it before, but this kind of goes into more detail. And also that they are, you know, YouTube's targeting children, as you already mentioned, Amanda, and it goes into detail about that. And, I like the statistic that we learned at the end of yesterday. It said that 81% of 6 to 12-year-olds say they use YouTube. And so really YouTube is trying to capitalize on that. We learned that phrase yesterday. They're trying to take advantage of that, and so they can tap into that, you know, huge source of, you know, people watching and kids watching, and so they want to provide something that they would like, so they will make more money.
Right, exactly. Bring in that revenue, right? Mm-hmm. What about you, Josh?
So I did not realize that YouTube Red was going to get so involved in children's programming, although I do think it's a great idea. I know that there are a lot of kids out there that really use YouTube a lot for all sorts of different things. And really, most of that content that the kids find, I think, is really good. But there's a lot of stuff on YouTube that really isn't super appropriate for all age levels. So I'm a little bit encouraged by the idea of Google and YouTube really trying to put together like good programming that I think parents can really rely on to be able to provide for their children. So it's a little bit better than just like letting them search for whatever's out there, which can lead them in maybe some slightly inappropriate spot.
Right. Yeah. There's something that we didn't really talk about yesterday, but I think that's parental control, right? That's a setting that a lot of these services have so that the parents can go in and make certain settings so the kids don't end up going somewhere they shouldn't.
Right. I believe Netflix has a separate section for kids, and I guess they can only go into that area. I'm not sure how it works. I don't have kids, but I know when I log into my Netflix account, it has a section where it just says kids. And so it's really important, I think, as parents to make sure you put those use those parental controls.
Right, and I know there has been things in the media about some kids' videos on YouTube not actually being the authentic video from that child's show, and then maybe being a bit more scary, and therefore the parents don't realize that at the beginning, but as the show goes on, the content of the show is not so good. And so I think we need to be really aware of what kids are watching when they are looking, you know, even on YouTube. And where they're going with it.
Sure.
Right? So, well, we do know that there is a lot of competition when it comes to paid streaming subscription services out there. We've talked about Netflix. We've talked about a little bit on Amazon Prime. But there we learn a little bit more in our reading today about the competition that is out there. So if you have your Advanced Magazine, turn to page 21 or get your electronic device ready to go and join us as we have our first reading for today.
Fierce competition. Phones and tablets play a big role in the lives of tykes and tweens, and the battle to be the source of their continued attention has stretched beyond stalwarts such as Nickelodeon, PBS, and Disney Channel. The kid and family space has become a key genre for digital services such as Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu, all of which have clamored to acquire or create as many children's and family-friendly television shows as possible in recent years because such programming is a crucial draw for parents to subscribe. The choice to choose. Each YouTube Kids series has an individualized release schedule. Some are releasing episodes week by week and others all at once, depending on the creator and fan base, said Nadine Zylstra, head of family entertainment and learning for YouTube Originals. The runtime for the shows will also vary, anywhere from 11 to 22 minutes.
Well, listeners, we are exploring the world of YouTube today and how they are wanting to get into original children's programming. But we learned that there is fierce competition out there. And Brandon, what do we mean when we say something is fierce?
Well, it's intense. There's a lot of competition and you have to be savvy. You have to be really smart in this business because if you want to, you know, keep up with the competition, you need to be smart, basically, and apply tactics that will work, and so you'll stay alive.
Right. Okay. Well, we learned yesterday. We learned about YouTube wanting to target a younger viewer audience, starting with teens and young adults. And we start out here today, learning a little bit more as well. Josh, what do we learn?
Well, here we learn that phones and tablets play a big role in the lives of tykes and tweens.
Now, what are tykes and tweens?
Well, that's a really good question. So these are referring to different ages of children. And a tyke is, there's a sort of an endearing term that we use in English for little tykes. And those would be people who are of toddler age or slightly older. So these are kids who are, you know, old enough in order to walk around and talk and engage in the world around them, but we're still very young. So I would say probably below the age of six, really,
right. Actually.
But beyond, like, you know, maybe from the age of three to six or seven, depending on who you talk to.
Right.
And then tweens, this is an interesting term. So we've heard of teen, right, being short for teenager.
Yeah.
And that, of course, is anybody who's got a teen in their number, so 13, 14, 15. But then we've got tweens. So now this is kind of a mix of between and tween. So that would be somebody between the age of a tyke or a younger person and a teenager.
Yeah, good, good. Now, we learned that phones and tablets have played a large role in their lives. And yesterday we did talk about how they are swipe-savvy kids. Brandon, you mentioned that a lot of kids have grown up using phones and tablets nowadays. And I think that's true. I've seen a lot of parents using tablets and phones to keep their child entertained when they're out and about. And so they're very familiar with how to use it.
Right, they are. And so there are a lot of companies out there and different programs as these kids are going online or on their phones are accustomed to watching all of these different things. So that plays into this fierce competition. So there's this battle going on. And so YouTube wants to be the source of their continued attention. And so we learn about some different companies here, and we have an interesting word here called stalwart that refers to these companies or these, you know, I guess you could say organizations. We have Disney and so forth. And so a stalwart is just a well-established company. And so that means it's harder to knock down a well-established company. So that's why there's fierce competition.
Right, and they have that reputation. And I know Nickelodeon and Disney are available here, but what is PBS?
That stands for Public Broadcasting Station.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that is in the U.S., and I believe it's mostly or partially government-funded.
It's partially government-funded. Mm-hmm. They also do a lot of public fundraising. So, but government funding is a big part of it. But I think for PBS, for a lot of people, the most famous children's programming would be Sesame Street.
Mm. Ah, yes. I grew up with Sesame Street. Did you grow up with Sesame Street?
Yes, Big Bird, Cookie Monster, Oscar the Grouch.
Elmo, exactly.
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. And, you know, that's been used a lot in amusement parks now, too.
Yes.
I recently went to Universal Studios in Singapore, and they had a whole section for Sesame Street.
Yes.
So Sesame Street is well known around the world, and of course that appeals to kids, and we see that the kid and family space has become a key genre for digital services for the likes of Netflix, we've talked about them, Amazon, and Hulu. Now, I'm not very familiar with Hulu. What's Hulu?
It's another subscription service. It's not available in every country, so I've used it a little in the U.S. And you can go on and watch TV shows. I don't know if they have, like, Netflix has a lot of movies. I don't know if Hulu has so many movies, but they have a lot of U.S. TV shows.
So Hulu in the United States was one of the first attempts for what they call cutting the cord. So being independent of broadcast television or TVs that you have to plug into the wall with the cable and using the internet in order to bring television programming. And they branched out also into movies as well. And they're sort of a service that has like a two-tier system. So they have like a public Hulu service where you can just check out things that are available on Hulu. But then a lot of stuff isn't, a lot of the content isn't available until you pay for the service. But I don't believe it's very accessible outside of North America.
Okay, okay. Well, what are all these digital services trying to do at the moment, Brandon?
Well, they are clamoring to acquire or create as many children's and family-friendly television shows as possible. And so if you're clamoring to do something, you kind of get the idea that you're rushing around trying to get something done. We have that definition to make a loud complaint or demand. I think here in this situation, it's more of the idea of they're trying to really get something done. There's this big demand out there to get it done, and so they're trying to quickly rush around and get this done.
Right, okay. Because what do they believe?
Well, they believe that it's a crucial draw for parents, right?
Yeah, and so we know that parents have used YouTube in the years past to keep their children entertained, so they're wanting to cash in on that need that parents have for their kids. But we see that the choice to choose is our next paragraph. What do we learn there, Brandon?
Well, each series has an individualized release schedule. We're talking about these YouTube Kids series. And so this makes it, you know, I guess more personal or easier to just go in and look at various shows. And there's you can look at when these shows are going to come out or when the next episode will be released and so forth.
Right. This reminds me a little bit of like what Netflix does, right? Sometimes they release a show all in one go. So if you're enjoying the show, you can just watch one episode after the other. Do they release it weekly?
Yes, there is. I'm watching the show called Designated Survivor, which is on, it's a actually a network TV show in the U.S., but Netflix, I guess, has the rights here in Taiwan. So they release it, I believe, one episode per week. So it's a little bit different.
Okay.
And then I have another example of a Netflix show. So a lot of times Netflix, when they release a series, they'll do it all at once so that people can do what they call binge watching.
Yes.
Right? And so when you binge on something, it means that you take a lot of it all at once. And binge watching means that you watch the episodes back to back until you're all done, which could take like, you know, even 10 hours, right?
Yeah.
So some people will watch it like all day long until they're done with the series. And I certainly have done that before. But I'm very glad that they don't always do that because, for example, one of the shows that I'm enjoying watching on Netflix is a show called Better Call Saul. It just, it's a program that Netflix came up with. It's sort of a spin-off, a very popular other program, and they are only releasing new episodes once a week. So what I do is I'll wait a month or so and then watch three or four at once, and then I'll have to wait for another month before I can watch a number at a time. But it does kind of help me resist the temptation to watch so much all at once.
Mm-hmm. Self-control.
Yes,
right?
That's important.
Okay, and so we see that the way that they decide whether something will be released weekly or all at once depends on the creator of that show or the fan base as well. So that's what we learned from Nadine Zolstra. She's the head of Family Entertainment and Learning for YouTube Originals. Now, what is the time frame of these shows, Brandon?
Well, the runtime for the shows varies. Okay, so runtime meaning how long each episode lasts. And we see it's going to be anywhere from 11 to 22 minutes.
Which makes sense. You know, kids' focus time is usually they want to be doing something else or, you know, they change their attention to something else. Right. I know we're pretty okay with maybe 45 minutes.
Yes.
But for kids, they maybe want to see something different.
Right.
Right. Well, why don't we continue with our second reading for today to learn more.
We're in such an incredible moment in media, Zylstra said. Kids can find videos for their very specific interests. And the beauty of our YouTube world is you can self-direct and pick the things that you are interested in, whether it's our originals or user-generated videos. Shows in the pipeline include a project with Dan and Lincoln Markham, the father-son team behind the popular YouTube channel What's Inside, in which they investigate what's inside everything from a lava lamp to a rattlesnake's rattle. The show, What's Inside Our World, finds them traveling the globe and continuing their investigations. Augmenting the content available on the app with exclusive originals could further strengthen YouTube's ties with children. YouTube Kids, which features videos selected from the main site through algorithms set to pick child-related content, is available in 26 countries and has more than 8 million weekly active users, according to the company. We're really happy to be putting the kids and family lens on that, Ducard said.
Well, YouTube is continuing to try to make ground in gaining territory with children and the children audience available to it. And we learn from Nadine Zolstra that we are in a certain moment in time. Josh, what do we learn from her?
Well, so that this is really an incredible moment in media in general. So not just for YouTube, but just for all sorts of media, so TV, music, television, that allows kids can find videos for their own specific interests.
That's true. I mean, I think about that even as an adult. Like I mentioned earlier, I wanted to learn about a little bit more about project management. And there's so much available. A lot of universities are putting their lectures on YouTube as well. So there's a lot of availability if you have a specific interest.
Right. So there are so many videos on YouTube that it's bound to cover most people's interests, right? And so you'll probably find something that you're interested in, and this is true for kids as well.
Right. She says the beauty of our YouTube world is you can self-direct and pick the things that you are interested, whether it's our originals or user-generated videos. So they just want to broaden their scope, right? And what else do we learn? What is happening in the future, Josh?
Well, they have shows in the pipeline, which include a project with Dan and Lincoln Markham. So anything that's in the pipeline means that it's in development or it's coming soon.
Right. Okay. And who are Dan and Lincoln Markham?
Well, this is a father-son team behind the popular YouTube channel What's Inside. So I think it's interesting that a father and son, they're working together on this. And so that's who they are.
And they do something in particular, right? They investigate what's inside everything. So they broke open everything, which we know some kids really love to do. You know, you give them a computer or, you know, hardware, and they want to break it open to see what's inside, right? So they do this from a lava lamp which I think would be a little messy, but a lava lamp to a rattlesnake's rattle. So they, you know, if you're curious, your kids are curious, then perhaps this is a good channel for them to watch. Mm-hmm. And I think there's one other thing, that a lot of the channels that are there are quite educational, but they try to make it fun.
Yeah, and another one they talk about here, What's Inside Our World, they actually travel the globe. That one would interest me because you can learn so much by traveling around to different countries, and they're doing some investigations there, so I think that would be interesting for kids to see.
Right, so they're wanting to expand that as well. And what do we learn in this next sentence, Josh?
Well, that augmenting the content available on the app with exclusive originals could further strengthen YouTube's ties with children. Mm-hmm. So when you augment something, you just mean you increase it or you make it better by adding something to it. So if you're augmenting content, it means you take what's already available on YouTube and then you add this, you know, exclusive original content in order to really get a good relationship for programming for young children.
Right, so they know, oh, I can only watch that on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I can't get it anywhere else.
Right, that word exclusive there, that's what that's referring to. You can't watch it anywhere else. Sometimes on a news program, they'll say an exclusive interview, so only they got the interview with this person. So.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think Netflix has done that well with the adult audience.
They definitely have. And I could see where if, so this example here with Dan and Lincoln Markham, so this is the existing YouTube channel people are already interested in. They already have their own audience. And then if YouTube is then producing them in order to create original content with a bigger production, that would really attract people who already know these guys and know that they're interested in them in order to subscribe to see what else they can do when they have a bigger budget.
Right. Wow, that's great. And so, again, that comes back to producing quality to draw more audience to come to that place.
Exactly.
Right? Well, we learned that YouTube Kids, which features videos selected from the main site, and they do this... Well, how do they do this, Brandon?
Well, through algorithms set to pick child-related content. So I guess it's some sort of computer-generated way of selecting these programs.
Yeah, I think, Josh, you know a little bit about this.
So algorithms are a fairly complicated formula that are designed in order to be able to take a real-world or real-time input and be able to get a result out of that. And so there are formulas that are well thought out by a lot of people in order to be able to do sort of kind of the computation that we would really associate with artificial intelligence. And so that's being able to make decisions on its own without any sort of programmer giving or person giving its own input. Right?
Wow.
So then in this particular case, what they're saying is that the channel YouTube Kids is able to choose videos that fit sort of criteria of what they feel would be interesting or appropriate to child programming without having a person having to review it first and list it on the channel.
Right, okay.
And the main site, I guess, being YouTube or YouTube Red, right? So it selects videos from that, and you can just watch those more easily through the YouTube Kids app.
Okay. And the child-related content is available in 26 countries and has more than 8 million weekly active viewers, according to the company right now. What do we learn in the final sentence today, Brandon?
Well, Ducard says, we're really happy to be putting the kids and family lens on that. So,
what does that mean, the family lens? When we put a lens on something, Josh, what does that mean?
So when you put a lens on something, like a glass or something that helps you focus.
Right.
So it helps you really focus on a particular kind of content. And it sounds like here that they're really happy to put focus on content that's aimed towards kids and the family.
Right. So like we mentioned earlier, this does seem like a logical step for YouTube to be heading in this direction. At the end of yesterday, we learned how much attention they have from viewers, 81% between 6 to 12-year-olds. And also they have an unparalleled reach with 1 billion unique visitors monthly. So it makes business sense.
Yes.
To be going in this direction. And also with the competition that's out there right mm-hmm. now, it also makes sense to be starting to focus particularly on this area.
Right.
Now, YouTube continues to grow.
Right, and I'm really glad that in their growth, because they said yesterday that they're already getting like 81% of 6 to 12-year-olds
yeah.
that are already using YouTube. And so that's a lot of kids. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sense of really focusing on that content and making good content for children,
right.
good, appropriate content that really engages children and is something the parents can really rely on, and as opposed to just letting kids kind of like search for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really powerful thing, and I think it'll be really good for them to really sort of, well, we would say curate, but I guess sort of arrange the content to be content that's really good for children.
Now, I know we've been talking about YouTube today, but Studio Classroom also is on YouTube.
Mm.
So we encourage you as well to check out our channel
that's
on
right.
YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Check out our topic talks.
Yeah, how can they do that, Brandon?
Well, you can scan the QR code there at the top of page 20.
Mm-hmm.
So every article has a QR code that links you to our topic talks videos. And you can also go online to watch our videos as well.
Mm-hmm. And we do actually have content that I think would be good for young viewers, especially those that are really trying to work on their English, to practice as well.
So make sure you check out those options as well, especially if you want to increase your English vocabulary. We hope that we've helped you do that today also through our business article, and that you've learned a little bit more about where YouTube is headed when they're focusing on the children audience. Now, I want to thank my panelists, Brandon and Josh, for joining me here today. And we also thank you for joining us as well. And so this is us saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.